The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, let's catch up with Liverpool's greatest ever keeper. He's going to be on the stage on Merseyside on Thursday. But he wasn't bad between the sticks either. Let's talk with Ray Clemens. Morning to you, Ray.
Morning.
We will talk about your stage appearance very shortly over in New Brighton. let's get some thoughts on Liverpool at the moment. And Simon Mignolet, who I think has had a really decent few months. He's had his critics more than any, I'd say. But I tell you what, he has looked stoic in the last couple of months.
Yeah, the last couple of months has, he's played like we all hoped he could play. As I've said many times, the goalkeepers at the big clubs, they don't just make great saves. They're all capable of that, but it's making the vital saves that influence games. And I think in this last couple of months, we've seen Simon make those vital saves, which have kept us in a game or allowed us to win a game 1-0. So that's what the top goalkeepers do. And certainly he's done that in the last couple of months. And I'm sure he's gaining confidence as each game goes by.
Do you think managers are far more patient with goalkeepers than fans are?
I think probably, I think everybody realises that, goalkeeping is a very difficult position. People say, well, you stand around and do nothing for most of it. True. But we are the most criticised member of the team. That's a certainty. You have to have very broad shoulders because everybody else can make a slight mistake and get away with it. You make a slight mistake and invariably it finishes up in the back of the net and everybody looks at you. So I think managers understand that. I think most managers understand that. And that's why, when goalkeepers make a mistake, they invariably come out with a line, well, he's saved us on many occasions. So, we accept this is part of the job. And it is part of the job. Everybody makes mistakes. It's just the good and the great make less.
Did you ever have a situation, not at Liverpool, but did you have a situation like Simon Mignolet's where you were the number one at any other club and then you had a little bit of a dip in form and someone else was brought in? Or did that never happen to you?
No, thankfully that never happened to me. But when I first left Liverpool and went to Tottenham, obviously a totally different team, totally different way of playing. And, I went there and I think I conceded two in the Charity Shield, one in the opening game, then four in my first home game and then and three in my second home game. And, obviously questions were being asked. I knew Keith Birkinshaw, the manager, very, very well from my days at Scunthorpe. So, we obviously talked it through and it was just a case of them getting to know what I needed from them and me realising what they could do and what they couldn't do and getting a relationship between myself and the back four and the rest of the team, basically. And after that first five games, we got it together and finished up with having a record number of clean sheets for Tottenham Hotspur in that season.
So you brought it together. Do you see Simon being the number one next season? Has he made his case?
Well, he certainly made a case. At this moment in time, he seems to established himself as the number one for this season. But, this is a big football club, Liverpool Football Club, and he's got to do it all again next season. That was the famous saying in those halcyon days that you get nothing for last season, you've got to do it all again next season. And that will be the situation, I'm sure. It appears that Jurgen Klopp said a month or so ago that he wasn't looking to bring in another goalkeeper, so it is going to be, it appears, to be a straight fight between the two of them again. And of course, at this moment in time, Simon's in the box seat. He's in the team. He's got the shirt. And somebody's got to try and take it off him. So he's just got to continue doing what he's doing and he'll retain that shirt.
Which keeper do you like most in the Premier League? Or if you had a couple you could choose from? Who stands out for offering something different? Or what is it you like, Ray?
I always like goalkeepers to have presence. I think Courtois at Chelsea has that presence. De Gea at Manchester United, he has a presence about him as well. And Hugo Lloris at Tottenham Hotspur, he's had an excellent season as well. The English lad that I like, the up-and-coming ones, is obviously Jack Butland. I think he's definitely one for the future. I'm pleased to see that he now is over his injury and back in the Stoke City team. And of course, the one that's caught everybody's eye this year, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the close season, is Jordan Pickford. You know, he's a young boy, he's coming to the side, it's a struggling team. Okay, he's had lots of chances to show how good he is because he's had lots to do each week. But again, last night I watched him against Arsenal, and without him, it could have been 6 or 7. So it'll be interesting what happens to him in the close season. There'll be a lot of people, I'm sure, that'll be sniffing around him. But I think the most important thing for him is that if he does move, he goes to a club where he's going to play. I don't think he wants to be going to somewhere where he's going to be sat on the bench every week. And if he can't get that move, then certainly Sunderland, you know, will be having one of the best goalkeepers in the Championship next year.
Yeah, needs to develop at another club, doesn't he? Okay, let's talk about you on stage. So you and your old Derby foe coming head to head on stage at the Floral Pavilion on Thursday night, an audience with Clem and Latch, Bob Latchford, who's coming over from Germany. I think he lives over there now. Did you always get on with Bob?
Yeah. I always get on with him. You know, obviously when you're on the field, it's a whole different ball game. But I've met him socially many times, and he's a nice guy. As I say, he's been out of the country for a number of years now, and I haven't seen him for a number of years. So I'm looking forward, A, to seeing him, and B, having the chat with him. You know, because John Keith, who I know very, very well, is hosting the evening. And I'm sure he'll put some very interesting questions to the two of us, which will hopefully come out with some interesting and humorous answers.
I'm sure you're right. We're approaching the 50th anniversary of the £18,000 move from Scunthorpe to Anfield. We've spoken about this before on the LFC TV programme, but it's a great story in terms of how that move came about. Just give a brief synopsis of what happened at the time, Ray.
Well, obviously, I was at Scunthorpe United. Basic wage then was £11 a week. And most players in that, what was then the second and third division, because there was a winter wage and a summer wage, you know, your winter wage was your basic wage plus appearance money. In the summer, there was no appearance money. So most of the players in those two divisions had to get a summer job to boost their wages through that period when they weren't playing. I went back from Scunthorpe to Skegness, became a deck chair attendant for the 6 weeks, I think it was, in between seasons, 6 or 8 weeks between the season. And it was down on Skegness Beach that I got the word from my parents that Liverpool had offered £18,000 and Scunthorpe had accepted it. And did I want to come? Well, it took me all of about 2 seconds to make that decision. And obviously, I came to Liverpool the following day. Met the great Bill Shankly, who I didn't take any convincing. I would have signed for nothing, I think. But having showed me around Anfield and Melwood, they offered me a contract. In 2 years, it was on £30 a week, and I immediately signed it. And obviously, from then on, I had to be patient because he told me that Tommy Lawrence was past his best and 30 years of age, and I'd be in the team in 6 months. And of course, it took me 2.5 years to become a regular, so I had to be very patient.
Patience is key, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh, brilliant stuff. That's just one of many brilliant stories I'm sure you've been talking about. And of course, we're on the 40th anniversary of the first European Cup win against Borussia Mönchengladbach, so I'm sure that will come. That's very fond in your memories as well, Ray.
Yeah, I mean, the first time you do anything is special, and those 10 days were leading up to that European Cup final. Well, the 3 months, I suppose, because for 3 months, we had to win a game to win the league. We had to win a game to progress in the FA Cup. And we had to win a game to progress in the European Cup as well. So every 3 days was a massive game that we had to win. So, you know, for 3 months, it was intensive pressure. But at the end, you know, we obviously won the league, unfortunately lost the FA Cup. But then the icing on the cake was the European Cup for the first time. And the night that, whether you're a fan, a player, if you're at Rome that night, or even if you watched it on the television, I'm sure it's something that will, you know, forever be etched in your memory.
Yeah, it certainly sticks with you. The story goes that after that FA Cup defeat, everyone was really low, but you got them all singing on the side of the railway station. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a strange thing. That's, I say goalkeepers are mad. I don't know how to do it, but we were still on Watford Junction Station waiting for the train to go back. obviously all very down that we've missed out on the double and almost impossible treble. And everybody was really down. And then for some stupid reason, I just decided to break out and start dancing on the platform. it sort of broke the ice. We got on the train. We had a few beers on the way back. And I don't know why, but it just sort of broke the ice for everybody. And we relaxed a little bit and realized that we had, you know, as disappointed as we were, we had a bigger fish to fry in 4 days' time and that we had to get ourselves right for that.
And it went on and it worked out. Right, brilliant. Just super stories that's going to come out from both sides, red and blue. Audience with Clem and Latch at the Floral Pavilion Thursday night. You can still get a few tickets for that one, so it's well worth going along to. You can visit it via the website, www.floralpavilion.com. Ray Clemens, as always, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.